Welcome to Mama's Playground. This is Monica.
And this is Darlene.
Darlene, I haven't seen you in how
Since
long?
Since Luna's birthday.
Since Luna's birthday. Yeah. That was fun. That was a good birthday.
That was fun. And then she goes, Mom, next year. And I'm like, shh, next year, nothing. We're taking a trip.
We're still too far.
It's just, it's a lot of work, but it's fun. I mean, but yeah, for I checked my Amazon and my AliExpress account, and it was like for 3 weeks, I was on fire because it's like the favors for the birthday party at school. And then for the birthday party,
the real birthday.
And then do we invite everybody? Who are we not inviting? Like, it's just...
Who did you forget about? Who did you put the pictures on? Well, what pictures did you put on Instagram that somebody saw that you didn't invite? And they're like, oh, she had a birthday party and she didn't invite us.
I have
did a that.
I don't know if I should say this, but you know how you can block people sometimes?
Yes.
From certain stories?
Yes.
Just saying.
What if
it works?
What if it fails on you one day and then somebody sees it and you're like, ah, you know? I mean,
it's just hard. Like how it's hard because let's say that one of these places that you rent like for 2-3 hours, they say, okay, only 35 kids, which in my world, we have a lot. And then the problem is that, sorry, because you have two, but you invite one, but then you know that that one has like three siblings.
Absolutely. And yeah. You can't say no.
So her friends that are not like her close friends, even if when I do want to invite them, I'm like, wait, she has 1, 2, 3 siblings? No, it's okay.
You're like, I forgot. Or you know what? You had a limited space.
Yeah, it's hard because if you're inviting just that one kid, but it's that kid with three more siblings. And then that's room that, you know.
Yeah,
it could be more like for actually my daughter's friends,
the real friends.
And a lot of these places are like, okay, it's $1,700 for 2 hours and only 35 kids. And I'm like, that's why we always do it like outside the park or
next.
This time was a farm.
It was nice. It was nice.
It was fun.
It's funny. Well, I'm going to get into what we're going to be talking about today. But it's funny. We were driving in the car over here and I was talking to you about how my sciatic is killing me today.
Yes. So, we smell like Bengay. Like mental but
from
medicine
from
right
doTERRA
now.
Or something,
yeah,
no?
The rub. I love
the rub. So like, thankfully you had that in your purse because my back is killing me. So if you see me like... on YouTube or something, like walking, not walking, like jittery. It's because my sciatic is
and because
me.
You're crazy.
Yeah, of course.
But I love you.
Go ahead.
It's funny what you say because lately, like in my house, this is the soundtrack. It's like, and then I always make fun of Fabian because he's like, I'm going to go play soccer. And then he's like, and then when he comes back, I hear him like up the stairs, like,
in pain.
And we have like,
It's funny though, because when I called you to tell you, okay, let's go, we're leaving or whatever. And Fabian heard me say, please bring me something from my back or whatever. He's like, oh, this is like grandma's playground. Not mama's playground.
Yeah, no, it's mama's. We get backache and it's a lot of work around the house. But yeah, what are you going to say?
No. So today, we were like, what do we talk about? Right. And I was like, Darlene, I found this article that was actually on Oprah. And it was Dr. Phil that had this like 5-question thing that all moms, he says all moms, of course, you know, not everybody's going to ask these questions, but that all moms should ask themselves.
Okay.
So I wanted to go over that and just go like very briefly and like, you have no clue what this thing is about. So no. I guess
do
we
I
could
to
just
put my glasses.
I mean, put it on if you want to.
All right.
So
tell me about it.
All right. So he said the questions mothers must ask themselves. Okay. And this is Dr. Phil's questions. He said, well, every mother should ask, how do I measure my success as a parent? And he goes on, because I'm not going to go into
if they're
every,
alive.
Oh, correct. They're
by
alive.
The age of 21. It's like, yes.
They're healthy. They're eating. Like the doctor says, they're growing.
They get married to a good person.
As they get older, of course.
And if they have a happy life. I mean, sorry. I just jumped to the answers.
We have small kids. So right now it's like, as like I see it as like when they wake up in the morning and they're happy and they feel loved and they feel like, they have a roof over their head. They have somewhere to go
they
to sleep.
They feel secure. They somebody feel safe. To talk. Yeah, safe. Somebody to safe. Talk to. And I was going to bring this up later, but it actually came out this week. It went viral. It's this video. I think her name is Stephanie. And it's about the 9-minute theory.
Yes. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is like spend 9 minutes a day with your kid. And that's, but it's about which 9 minutes, right?
What do you mean?
Because a lot of women get like this mom guilt on, I'm working full time and I don't get to spend so much time with my kids. Okay. And this theory is about like, you don't have to be around your kid 24 hours.
Correct.
So it's about the 3 minutes after they wake up, the 3 minutes after they come home from school or daycare, and then the 3 minutes before going to bed. Those are the 9 minutes that are the most important.
I have to think,
according to this theory,
I have to think that when she put that, I did see something about that going uh-huh. viral, but I didn't really look into yeah. it. I have to think that there was probably moms that got bothered with that. I'll tell you why. For the 3 minutes in
something.
Between. For the
Somewhere three- like, it's not 9 minutes. We have to be on them 24 hours.
No, I mean in the theory, because you said 3 minutes before they wake up, 3 minutes.
No, after they wake after, up.
I'm sorry, I mean before,
You're
no.
You're going to be staring at them. You sleep so beautifully.
Well, you know what I mean? 3 minutes after, sorry, my brain is squirrel today. 3 minutes after they wake up, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. That you like the first face that they see. It's like, and it's true. It's like yeah. they wake up like, so loving, you know, at least my kids usually do sometimes. But I'm saying the 3 minutes, like after school, there's people that, you know, they can't be there to pick up their kids after school.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like in a good scenario that would be after school or even if you're working, then take some 10 minutes, call them
or FaceTime
and be like, hey, how did it go? Everything good? Oh, okay. I'm at work. See you later. Bah, 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 bah.
Okay. I got it.
And then before going to bed, the routine, the bath, and we love praying. It's all our routine is a bath, books, pray.
And then go to sleep.
Milk. Oh. And then she goes to sleep. I fall asleep next to her. Fabian's like, I'm here with the popcorn. Where you at?
You're
and
like,
he comes in and I fall asleep.
But that always happens to me as well. Yeah. I always fall asleep. I see the importance of that. I think looking at what you're saying about that theory that this lady, you know, put out there, mm-hmm. I think it's like you are... When they first wake up, they're seeing you. So it's like, mom, it's a secure face.
Yeah.
You know, it's their safety. Then after school, they spent the whole time, let's say 6 hours, 8 hours, four mm-hmm. hours, whatever it is, in a school setting without you.
Yeah.
And then if you are lucky enough to go pick them up from school, you know.
Or talk to them.
Or at least talk to them after school or FaceTime or whatever. It's like, that's that face again. Like there's that, like, you know, there's that. The rock, like mm-hmm. there's that person that's always there, you know, my safety.
And I mean, they've been away. You don't know what has happened with other kids or the teachers. You want to give them that attention of, hey, how did it go at school? So Luna, sometimes she's like, good. What did you do? I don't remember. And I hate that. And so I'm trying to train her to actually talk to me, even if it's just one sentence, but talk to me. And I think it's important.
Darlene, she's not a dog. You're like, I'm going to train her. I'm going to give her a cookie and I'm going to tell her, you better talk to me and I'll give you a cookie. I do that though with Noah. I'm like,
what?
I'm joking. You know, but when I want to like get something and he's just not listening and I'm tired. I know people are going to say that's horrible, but I'm like, I'll give you a dollar. You want a quarter from my purse? I'll get a quarter and put it in your piggy bank. And you know, and that sometimes helps him too. Like, and I'm like, stop bribing your kids. Anyways, I'm joking. Okay.
So this was the first one, which was, let me read it. How do I measure my success as a parent?
Uh-huh. So, and I'm going to get a little
stat. Giving them comfort would be the answer and knowing they're happy.
I'm going to put a little stat of what he put in there. Mm-hmm. He's like, of the more than 17,000 parents surveyed for his book, because he had wrote a book on this, a whopping 70% confessed that they have no clue about what goals they should set for their kids. He said, caught up in the whirlwind pace of modern life, these parents were too busy to bother with a plan of action and they were making excuses for not doing the most important job they'll ever have. He said, in addition, 25% said that their primary goal was to create a teen who would stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
And the remaining 5% said they had goals. So not many people had goals. I think everybody was just like, you know, have a kid, you know, they're safe. They're
surrounded by good friends.
Done.
Yeah, they're safe. That's why I love sports, because I feel that sports and Fabian would say music, although I think I disagree on that one, but
yeah,
sports will keep the kids, you know, out of trouble, because they have practice, because it's commitment. We have to be there every Saturday morning. So yeah. Friday, take it easy. It's, yeah, I love that about sports. And then it teaches them like working as a team and all that.
I think that's well, we have small kids again, mm-hmm. but it's something that we're going to look into, obviously, as they grow and they go into the future. It is obviously something you want to keep your kids out of trouble, yeah. out mm-hmm. of, you know, a lifestyle that could cause them harm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think it's daily, you know, steps and reiterating and talking to them as they're little, you know, and mm-hmm. telling them what's good and what's wrong. And if you see this, don't, you know, don't yeah. do this and don't do that. It's constant. Again, I think we've said this before, constant communication.
Yeah.
You know, and feeding them and hoping that they sponge that. And as they get older, that sponge is so sponged. I don't know if that makes any sense, yeah. that they don't listen to maybe bad influence, yeah. you know, hoping.
But it's scary because sometimes they say things and I'm like, where do you get that from? And Fabian's like, you.
And you're like,
Or she'll tell me, I'm like, why would you say that? I'm like, you said it. And I'm like, it's an age where they're really sponges.
Everything.
But anyway, so what was the next question?
He's like, what's the plan? One thing that you should ask yourself as a mom, like, what's your plan? Like, instead of living on a day to day, like, just like, whatever, you know, going through the flow, that you should have a plan, he says, right?
I mean, I think the plan should be, you know, give them love and comfort. And
I think that's natural, though.
Yeah.
That's
it's not like, okay, on this day, I'm going to be an excellent mother.
Well, look at,
I'm going to teach them how to cross the street.
Well, look at what he put here. He put, once you've meditated on what is important to you, you need to make a plan. This will ensure consistency, which is crucial to maintaining authority over your children, and it will help you be a confident mother. He put, how do you make a plan? Start with this. Sex, drugs, and alcohol will not be part of my child's life.
Exactly.
But it's so, you know, okay, hold on.
Okay, no more drinking wine in front of the kids.
No beer, you know, none of that, you know.
It ain't going to happen, but.
But imagine, I've seen kids that have come from a very wholesome, at least what I mm-hmm. thought was wholesome, upbringing, and from parents that were, you know, responsible, working, mm-hmm. loving, and they somehow still ended up in the drugs and yeah. the this and the that. So it's kind of scary, because I don't think you could, I don't know how much you can control. I mean, yes, you have to put the values out there. You have to tell them no, 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 mm-hmm. put them in sports, get them out. But you have to be obviously vigilant, yeah. you know, as a mom or, you know, as a dad, as to who they're hanging out with.
Oh yeah.
But I've seen kids again that, you know, you would have never thought from their upbringing from this. And actually they're worse off than some people that you would have thought would have fallen in that. So it's mm-hmm. like, how does that happen? I don't know.
I hear about like the private schools. It's like, yeah, the kids in private school.
Absolutely.
My nephew was telling me, yeah, those are the troublemakers.
The worst. Yeah. You know, being that you say that, I went to private school my whole life.
Look what happened. Exactly. No. That's exactly my point.
No. I am actually very wholesome and I am good. But, you know, I went to private school my whole life, and I remember fighting with my mom because in high school, I wanted to go to a public school. My best friend yeah. was going to public school, and my mom was like, no, we've made a sacrifice to put you in, you know, this private school. Like, we've done everything. Obviously, it was a Catholic school, so they had religion and, you know, all that stuff. And I cried to her my whole freshman year. And I told her, I want out. I hate it. I really want to go to the school. Why can't you let me go to the school? It's only like 5 minutes from the house. Like, I could just be there. Finally, she caved,
uh-huh.
you know, and she let me go in there. And I remember telling her vividly, like, Mom, this is private school. They're selling weed in the bathroom. Like, don't tell me that, because it's Catholic school. And so when
yeah.
finally I started opening like her mind to the fact that, like, I understand it now as a parent. Mm-hmm. But we cannot think that everything is so like cookie cutter. It's not what you would think. There's people everywhere. And obviously I would think that in private school, you know, you get more parents maybe with the same values, I want to say. More people
but that more money.
that's what it is. It's a monetarily like, you know, but you know, you would think that the people that make that sacrifice or try to find the way to do it is because they want their kids to, you know, learn
to have
religion.
A better education.
Yeah.
But I mean, no one has gone to charter. And
I have my kids in charter.
Yeah.
I have my kids in charter.
We're going to like probably apply for the step up, but yeah, I don't know.
If you guys don't know and you're listening to this, there's a program here in Florida called Step Up. And it is, I want to say free money. I don't know. It's like a scholarship kind of
like
thing.
I think it's like $7,000 that are given to families.
Yes.
For private school.
Yeah. So and they're doing it for almost like, I don't know if there's a cap of income, but it's very good. Like if you want your kid to go to a private school. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be Catholic, but most of the private schools around here tend to be Catholic.
Depends then on the school too, because they give $7,000, but there's some that it's like my sister said, it wouldn't even cover for the parking.
Yeah. No, but it's a good program. Yeah. It's a good program to look into. But anyways, besides that,
okay.
I guess that is like, you know, he asked like, what's the plan? Like you should have a plan, like what you want, maybe what you see, not that you can control these factors, but you maybe have a consistency in your parenting.
Okay. make a plan.
Number three, what did my parents teach me about parenting? Like, this is a question he said that you should ask yourself.
I have asked myself. In my case, I feel that we could always trust each other. Like my parents gave us a lot of trust as we were kids, and there was a lot of communication all the time. And you know, they would let me go out and then, but every time I would come home, my mom was like sitting there, like she would wait for me, which
mine too.
And then it was more like, who are you going with? This is before I was driving. Who are you going with? Okay. Most of the time they knew him. They knew him, her, they knew all my friends because we went to private school. And shout out to Coupeville in Puerto Rico. And so we grew up with these kids for 12, 13 years. So we know each other's families and all of that. And so, yeah, like they were very open with me going out. And I would come and she would always ask, who did you dance with tonight? Who did you run into? Any cute guy? So there was always like that confianza entre nosotros.
And you felt good talking to your mom about it.
Oh my God.
It wasn't like, mom, stop asking.
Yeah, no. It was like, I loved our relationship and with my dad as well. And they were always more, oh, you want to have a beer? Okay, have a beer.
With us.
And we would have it together. So we never saw this need of like, let's go out and get wasted. And no, it's like, I remember when I turned 21, I was like, I probably didn't even have a drink that day. Not like in other cultures where it's more, you can. And then when they go off to college, all these kids go crazy. They go crazy. They don't know how to drink.
Yeah.
So anyway, what did I learn about my parents? Doesn't have to do with alcohol, people. But just like that, la confianza that we would talk to each other about everything. I always felt
open.
That I could, very open, very open. They, you know, they don't have siblings, my parents, so we didn't have cousins, but they were always surrounded by friends, which became family till this day. And yeah, it was a super happy childhood. And I've always told that to Fabian, like, that's exactly what I want to give Luna. It's not about giving her everything, but just happiness.
Yeah. And memories. Surrounded by love and people that, you know, that care for you and look out for you.
Yeah.
Right. I think
what would be yours?
In my parents, I would say it's kind of the same. I think you and I, regardless of the fact you were in Puerto Rico or I was here, whatever, we had kind of that same upbringing. My mom was always very communicative, you know, always talking and talking with me about everything.
Till this day, too.
Till this day. Yeah. Till this day. And so she also taught me that. Like, and that's something that I bring onto my kids. It's like, even as small as they are, and people would think that, you know, oh my God, that's like a big kid conversation. I have conversations regardless of things or what the nature. I haven't gotten into certain topics yet because it's only 3 and 6.
Yes.
But for instance, My son the other day said to me, he doesn't want to be old. The 6 years.
You haven't had the sex talk with them.
So I haven't had the, no, obviously.
That's scary.
Not yet. Yes. I don't know if it's scary. I'm so open. To be honest with you, the day that it came, I don't think I would ever hide anything from it. Yeah. It's funny. You know, I'm very open in that sense. But I do, like the other day he's asked me like, Mom, I don't want to get old. Like when I get old, like he's asked me several times, I'm going to go to the sky. And I have talked to him about death, and he's 6 years old. And I'm like, look, but I make it so not a sad thing. I make it as like a beautiful thing versus like back in the day, at least for me, I don't know, people found that topic kind of like not something to talk about with kids. And then when you got to it, it was kind of scary. It made you more scared because it was kind of, it's the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. But anyways, what I'm coming with this is the fact of being open, talking to them. My mom, I want to say my mom, probably more than my dad, I want to say. She was always open to listening, whether the fact was that I did something wrong or not. You know, and she wouldn't really blame me. She would kind of say things for me to kind of question myself and see if I, for me to come out with the answer. I don't know if that makes sense. Trying to figure out like the words, but
it's hard for us as moms and our moms when you come to them and they're pissed off because you did something wrong, but they still have the patience to be like, wait, let's talk about it. You know, like if they call you from school, Luna got into a fight with whatever, which it's happened. Instead of the first instinct is like,
what did you do?
What did she do? But then it's just controlling your emotions.
Yeah.
And just asking like, okay, what happened? And so many times it's been like, oh, she was right. My daughter.
And not for anything, but I think that way of being that you are, you're your child's friend, but you're also their parent, right? I think with time, hopefully, I would think that, you know, they will always feel comfortable to talk to you. So when they're in those teenage years, when they're getting in that awky stage of weird things happening and this and that, that they're going to feel comfortable to say, hey, Mom, look, this happened. Or Mom, you know what? I had my first kiss or this and that. You'd want that, you know? Yeah.
Okay. What's the next question?
Next one. Okay. So that was, what did my parents teach me? Basically communicate, and be open. Next one, am I at peace with myself? So like before, like, are you at peace with yourself? Because if you're not and you're raising children, and I think a lot of us have things that we're not, you know.
You know what? I'm gonna say this. I'm proud of myself.
Okay. Are you completely at peace though with how you are?
I don't think we're always going to be as a parent. There's no such thing as being at peace. You're always going to have worries.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, anxiety. But I mean, I feel that I'm doing everything that I can as a parent. I always said I want my kids to be involved in sports and have friends. And you know, she's doing both. She likes being around people and family. She loves family. And she's happy. She wakes up in the morning. Like the other day, she was with her eyes closed and the cutest thing ever. Fabian saw it. I missed it. But she started like laughing in her sleep.
Oh,
and so she's a happy girl and she's healthy. Thank God. And you know, she knows that God exists. We talk about it. And she's a special girl, very affectionate. So I feel that, you know what? I'm doing a good job. Although I might look tired as hell right now.
I feel you. I think the same thing. I think with my kids, the same thing. Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, could I have not said this word? Could I have chosen to do something a little differently?
They're going to hear it somewhere else.
But they're going to, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, are my kids happy? Like when I see them, I'm washing the dishes and it's like you don't know. It's like I'm washing the dishes and I see them sitting on the sofa watching TV together and they're just smiling and they've got everything they need, you know, and we're not talking about material. So they just got everything, the basics. They've got the basics that they need. And most importantly, a good family that loves them and they've got a roof over their head and they're not lacking anything. You know, and that to me makes me proud. I'm like that I've been able to give that to them, you know, and not just me, but Benjamin and our families. And, you know, it makes you feel good. So, you know, sometimes we're going to be lacking or you say, shit, I should have done something a little differently. But I think without those moments, you don't learn anything. Mm-hmm. You know, if everything was so perfect, you don't learn nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not too hard on myself on that either.
Yeah. No, I think that a lot of moms, we tend to be like very hard on ourselves. So the lesson is forget about the mom guilt. You're doing an awesome, awesome job. It's about spending time with your kids and having fun.
Yeah. And you take it day by day.
Yeah.
There is no
perfect. They are not going to be perfect.
There's just no black and white.
You're not perfect. Your husband's not definitely not perfect.
Most definitely. No, they're definitely not perfect. No, I'm just kidding.
Anyway, I'm anything not, left?
Number five, which was the last one. So he said, oh, well, back to what you just said.
Okay.
Can I let go of the guilt and do better? So like when you do have your moments, again, I'm not so hard on myself, but when I have done certain things that I'm like, I could have done better, and the guilt starts to set in, or, you know, I wanted to be somewhere with them and I couldn't because I had to do something else, and the guilt, you know, creeps in. I'm like, okay, can I do better next time? You know, I will make sure to be there. I'll plan something differently, or, you know, and it's just, you know, it's trial and error, you know,
It's where I feel the most guilt is if I'm on the phone and she's like, mom, put it away. And it right there for me, that's, oh no. Or when she sees like a bunch of people on their phone and she asks for it, it's like, I don't want that. But this morning, like I went back to what we were talking about earlier, the 3 minutes after they wake up. One thing, like getting ready to come here, what I did is I woke up earlier. And then I took a shower, I got ready.
You did your stuff.
So I could spend time with her when she wakes up. Because usually it's like, wake up, Luna, go do this. I got to do this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try this out after reading it yesterday. I said, I'm going to try it out. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, get ready before I go wake her up. And it was beautiful. I spent time with her this morning. She was so happy. So anyway, I wanted to go back to, I just thought about it, the 9-minute theory of being a mom.
Yeah.
And don't feel guilty if you're not there all the time, but try to be there those moments, even if it's like you said, through FaceTime.
Yeah.
The one after they come home from school. Yeah.
Somehow you're present and they see you and it's like you are their safe zone. You know,
exactly.
This morning, I don't want to keep going on this, but very quickly to wrap up this morning. You know, we went out yesterday to a friend's house and we stayed till a little bit later. We didn't get home that late, but we got home like around 11. And so Noah was tired. And this morning I had mom guilt. So I'll tell you, we get to the car line and he didn't want to get out of the car. He was passed out and the lady tried to carry him and he started crying. No, no, no. He started hiding. Like he didn't let her pick him up. So I was like, look, I will park the car and I will take you down and I will, you know, he's like, okay, mom, I did that. He was hugging me, you know, tightly. And the lady went to go grab him from me because they don't let me get into the class.
Yeah.
And when they took him from me, like they literally had to pull him off of me and he started crying.
Oh my gosh.
I turned around and the lady goes to me, mom, don't feel guilty. Just keep going. It's okay. It's Monday. Yeah. It happens. He's going to be okay. And my heart broke and the guilt set in. Like I shouldn't have let him go to sleep so late. Now he's tired, but then you saw, right, that I messaged the teacher and the teacher sent me a picture saying he's perfectly fine. We went to the park and he's fine.
We're the ones that go crazy.
So anyway,
so we will see you guys next week. It's gonna be a very special episode. It has to do with fertility, women. We've never talked about that before.
We're gonna have a special guest.
We're gonna have a special guest from Badass Fertility. So
Catherine.
Hello, Catherine. Is she here?
No. I'm just saying, Catherine.
We're gonna see her in a minute. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in and follow us and talk to us.
Yeah, definitely. Bye.
Bye.